from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that comes with a side of lulls and a full plate of it comes with a plate of meanders, a side of lulls, an extra helping of what's and ahs and us, and plenty of other stuff, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show free for everybody. Hey, everybody, I just wanted to let you know this story was recorded a little while ago, and I know you might be having a tough time right now. A lot of us are. And if you're having a tough time right now, I want you to know there's resources in the show notes. So look at those resources, and if you need extra support right now, use those links, because you and your needs are important. All right? Thanks. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What would what it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast that's a little bit loud and a little bit brash, because I'm so happy to thank the people that supported the sponsors and that supports the show. It allows me to be here for you twice a week. So I want to thank Lily, who got a Whoop strap and signed up with Whoop. Let me know when you get your strap and you get it set up so I can send you the invite for the Sleep With Me team on there. And then I want to thank Katie, who's having such a good time with Best Fiends. She felt like she needed to share it. Best Fiends, love it or leave it, as we say, right, Katie? But yeah, it's a great game. It's fun. That's just another podcast that Katie listens to. So thank you, Lily. Thank you, Katie, for sharing on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. If you support a sponsor, try to tag them in a social media post and tag me so I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which part one is now over. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you. And if you're having a difficult time right now, use the links in our show notes. Sleep With Me is here to provide a safe place for you to get some rest. But if you need something more, there's links right in the show notes. Reach out and use those links, please. And the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support, and I just reaffirmed my support for KALW, one of our local public radio stations, mostly to support the reporting they're doing right now. But they also have a new podcast, the Golden Gate Parkcast, which I also said, well, let me support it for that as well. So think about it. If you use public radio, think about supporting your local station and supporting the work they're doing right now. So that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commission. and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It's, you know, whether it's the thoughts, like the stuff you're thinking of, like what is this guy talking about, or what happened? Scoot's got a little early mix up there. So thoughts, feelings, it could be emotions, it could be about, you know, it could be past, present, or future related. Physical sensations, anything going on with your body. Whatever it is, changes in schedule, travel, partners, whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to help with that. And what I'm going to do is I have this beautiful safe place. Beautiful or mundane safe place is set aside. Oh, yeah. What's your favorite kind of architecture? Okay, well, this is influenced by that, believe it or not, this safe place. Totally influenced by that era. Oh, it's not an era, it's a style. Well, it was vaguely influenced by that. And it's both, you're right, it's both mundane. It was the one where it's kind of like, it's totally like that. I keep getting the word parson put in there, and I don't know why that's coming in. It doesn't have anything to do with the style of the safe place. But I'll tell you what, I got a safe place set aside for you, plenty of room, plenty of privacy, or, you know, there's communal areas and private areas. That's what makes it a safe place. And it's very, it's solid and malleable, of course. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless and rustified meanders, superfluous tangents. You might say, Scoots, what is a superfluous tangent? And I'd say, well, sometimes you say, could this use one more tangent? And then I say, what's that tangent over there? And you say, well, are you going to put the extra tangents into the stone soup? And I'd say, well, how about I carry the stone soup? I think I'm going to do carry the stone soup. That's my thing, is I carry it, it mixes it a bit, and I'm just going to take it on an extra, I'm just going to go 400 steps, like in this, down this path. I don't know where the path goes, but I'll probably be back in 400 steps or some number of steps eventually. I realize that you don't feel like the soup needs that. Wait, it's a metaphor? Stone soup's a metaphor. Holy mackerel. So I'm just, you just lightened my load because I'm walking around with a metaphor inside a metaphor. It's like walking around with a cloud. Holy mackerel. And you know what it makes me think of is another, like I'm trying to think of another superfluous tangent that I could come up with there within that. You know, because I think about superfluous makes me think of superfluous, which would be a nonsensical word version of superfluous, but it's pretty nice in the ears. And another thing you could say to help you relax or during the day, an inside joke for yourself, you say, superfluous. Okay, and then you say, Scoots, could you spell that for me? Superfluous. Okay, let me try to spell superfluous, right? Super, S-U-P-E-R, superfluous. It's probably harder than it looks in my brain, and it looks like a spaghetti al dente. Let's just say it's F-L-O-U-S or something. Superfluous. Zuberfluous. Oh, I changed the word already. Zuberfluous. Zuber. Z-U-B-E-R. Zuberv. Zuberv. Maybe it needs an I, a V. Well, let's just decide to work. Let's just say it's a word without spelling. superfluous. Okay, but this is a script selling. Oh, I thought this was that was my book I'm working on, Selling to the Script Spelling Bee, Inventing Words to Be Spelled, My Lifetime's Work. Also the original title, Superfluous, or Superfluous. Sorry, there was an accidental superfluous tangent in there. Because usually I try to bring it back for new listeners. Superfluous tangents, basically a whole lot of nonsense. And what it is if you're new, I'm glad you're here. This is a podcast to take your mind off of stuff, to keep you company as you fall asleep. Or, you know, if you're repurposing this podcast as you study or chill or try to relax, you know, or just, you know, like just to take your mind off stuff and keep you company, basically. And what if you're new, again, I'm glad you're here. If you're skeptical, why wouldn't you be? I mean, here I am. Maybe I'll stock it. Remember there was pants in the, I think it was in the 90s, maybe. They were called Zuba pants. I'm not sure if they were the same pants that were like zebra pants, but NFL teams and NFL team colors, or if there was something else. But I remember there was these things called Zuba pants. I really don't know anything more other than I loved that name. I think they were the 90s version of dad jeans. You'd say, what does a suburbanite dude wear on the weekends when they're sporting around and saying, hey, sporto, what are you doing later? Grilling after I mow the lawn, sporto. Oh, yeah? What are you wearing? Oh, sporto. This has already devolved into another superfluous tangent. You know, I'm wearing those Zuba pants you gave me. Oh, that's right. Thanks. I'll talk to you later. Enjoy the mowing of the lawn and the sporting around. Okay. Zuba pants. What was I talking? Okay. So this podcast is nonsensical. I honestly have no idea where those Zuba pants came from, honey. It wasn't Sporto that gave them to me. I think you did. You've always been, you've always felt strongly about the pants my friends give me. These are the pants I love. I just love sitting around in my Zuba pants. And I just like saying Zuba pants. And I'll have to Google it later to know what they even are. But what Scoots was saying was that he's glad the new listeners are here. He's there to try to help them. It was so structurally what to expect. A little late for that, but I'm still set it up for you, put you at ease. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we're able to keep the podcast free. You know, podcast that takes hundreds and hundreds of hours every month to craft. We're able to keep it free instead of behind a paywall. And you say, really, you craft this thing? I say, yep, believe it or not. I'm only laughing because I know you're laughing. And because it's true, because it's ridiculously true. So there's business, then there's an intro. And for some new listeners, the intro can kind of throw you off. It's kind of just I don't even know what it is. It's a little bit like recess at the start of, you say, okay, so you start your podcast out and then you have recess. And I say, well, a recessing is sensibility. Where you could wind down, or like at recess, I guess for kids, they run around. It's the opposite for kids, but so where you can unwind and ease into bedtime. So the intro is where I try to explain what the podcast is. It takes me 12 to 18 minutes and I go off topic. And you could either listen to that as you're getting ready for bed, or as you're in bed, or while more and more schools in session and university and stuff like that. You know, people study to this or code to this, or, you know, a few people, hot paint drying hobbyists, watch paint dry. You know, maybe the bespoke Zuba pants maker is stitching away on the new Zubas for 2020. Nubas. The Zuba pants that are new. This is new Zubas. Okay, so there's an intro, then there's a business, then there's a bedtime story. Tonight will be a recap of a Star Trek The Next Generation episode. And what it What that entails is if you've never seen it or you don't watch Star Trek or you're unfamiliar, I'll be talking about it in a way that you won't need to have watched it before. Or if you have, you'll say, "Scoots, did that really happen?" And you'd say, "What, Natasha Yar? Are you spinning Natasha Yarn?" And I'd say, "Natasha Yarn. That's the real name of Noir Chardonnay. When I pretend I'm Noir Chardonnay undercover, that's my real name." Also, if you ever want to find me at a hotel, remind me to check in as Natasha Yar. Not Tasha. You know, it's different, but a little bit closer. No, believe me, I'll be wearing Zuba pants. Thanks for that question. So there's an intro, then I'll talk about Star Trek The Next Generation, a specific episode for about 45 minutes. This will be the second of a two-part episode, Redemption. I hope that's what it's titled. There's some thank yous at the end. So that's a structure show. The podcast is about an hour long. It's also a podcast you don't need to listen to. You can kind of listen. You can listen. I'm going to be here till the very end to keep you company if you can't sleep. But there's no pressure to listen on your end. You don't need to. You might miss some stuff. But you also, you see, how many times can a person say Zuba pants in an intro? And I say, is there a Zuba Pants podcast? Because that has good alliteration. It'd be better if it was Zeke's Zuba Pants. Zeke's Zuba. I can't even say that. Maybe not Zeke. Zumba and Zuba. Pants podcast. Yeah, because it could be. I cover pants used in Zumba classes. Zuba Pants, the perfect pants for Zumba. Also, I'm not exactly sure what Zumba is. I just seen ads for it. I think it's like dance exercise, but I'm not positive. But in the case, I'm picturing the Zumba pants are pretty baggy, so they may be good. They're probably made of cotton, though, so maybe we'll have to update that. Maybe our friends at Sweat Chicago can help us, and we'll totally corner that market and start a new podcast, the Zumba Pants Podcast. You don't need to listen. I think that you figured that out, huh? It made that pretty obvious. No pressure to listen. No pressure to fall asleep either. The show's an hour, so you could fall asleep as you drift off. I'm here to keep you company, to walk at your side, and to be here, taking your mind off stuff, and then you just drift away. So you have the easy job, but I know it's not really easy, but I do want you to get comfortable. I do truly believe you do deserve a good night's sleep, and I can believe that for you. If it's not easy for you to believe that, I'm here for you because I've been there and I know how it feels, and I really want to help. Now, the other side of that is the podcast doesn't work for everybody, so give it a few tries and see how it goes. But most people, the regular listeners, hundreds of thousands of people I've heard from say it takes two or three tries, and then they kind of say, "Oh, okay, I get it. I get what he means by superfluous tangent now. It took a little while, but he's full of it, that Scoots." And he's still, I bet you right now, Scoots is trying to think of another way to shoehorn in Zumba pants. They're Zumba pants, but anyway, maybe I'll, yeah. They say, "Oh, both of those are brands that you can't use those names, sir." And I'd say, "Well, that's okay, because I was using a nonsense word about something I already forgot about, like that just barely sounded like, I don't know if I was saying Zoomophone or something earlier. And your products just came naturally flowing out of there." So anyway, if you're new, I'm glad you're here. If you're a regular listener, I'm glad you're back. Huh? Aren't you glad you're back? Listening to this intro, getting cozy, getting a little, a little dose of nonsense. Let me tuck in there. What do you want me to do with your feet? Okay, you got it. I'm here to help. I appreciate you coming by. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive, and I'd really like to help you fall asleep. Thanks again one more time for coming by. And here's a few of the ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about Redemption 2. No, that wasn't the second Redemption tour for your favorite 80s pop artist or 90s boy band, though it probably should have been, or could be, if you know, if I'm fully compensated. Oh, actually, you'd have to compensate. It's not the title of my episode, but you could just credit me with the idea. And free tickets for the entire tour, which I know is, never mind. How about just a friendly smile? Okay, this one opens. So this is part two. It's called Redemption 2. It, I don't know. Did anyone have an album, Redemption 2? Or was that a game? Okay, so I'm distracted. So this starts off with Last Time, because it's part two of the first episode, Redemption. I think I also wondered if they filmed this over, you know, apart from one another or as one episode. And I don't think I could find that online, though I didn't dig too deep. We started off Last Time. We got Gowron. My pen ran out of ink here. Gowron, civil. Oh, so we got to prevent the civil trouble with the Klingons. You know, not many Star Treks start out with this, Next Generation's ones. I would speak with you, and they're like, this is Duras's kid. We have Duras's heir, follow us. Worf says, I'll speak with you. It's Duras's dad. Then Duras's kid, Toral, I don't know, follow me. Then some lasers, I think. Picard ain't, can't do it. Honor returned. That's Worf. Off of the ship. Enterprise out. Tasha Yar. Do not discount Picard or humans. They appear at the most inopportune times. And now, I didn't look this up either because I do my research before I record. Whose voice that was. Somehow I missed this page in my research. You know, if you're a patron and you see my notes, usually a box, they put a box around the words I want to look up. This one I just put parentheses, whose voice is doing, and now the conclusion. Okay, it opens with trouble in space. We're on Kern's ship, Worf's brother's ship. Worf's like, withdraw. This is the first teaser of some subtle theming. He says, no way, man. Kern says, chart a new course, right into that star. And somebody says, but sir, or something like that. Then there's two ships on their tail. They toss out words like corona and photosphere. Shields are failing. Maintain course, says Kern. I guess I thought Worf was going to be on Gowron's ship, but now he's serving for Kern. Shouldn't he be in charge? Just a question. Let's see. Stand by. The two ships on their tail, they go right into, they don't make it through the photosphere. Aman Yak, what does that say? two ships at Armagnac. Let me look here. Closing, they go into the sun. I have no idea what my handwriting says there. Two ships out at Armagnac Enterprise. I don't know what it says. Maintain course, closing, whatever. They don't get there and they're out. They go into warp drive. Then we have Captain Picard meeting Stardate. He says we're at Starbase 234 and meeting with Fleet Admiral Shanti and some other, like, higher-up dude. Riker's there. Guard's kind of making his case. Let's see. Riker watches. It's worth just watching the scene a few times just to watch Riker watching Picard. What does that say? Oh, Picard basically proposes a blockade. First, he's like, we got to intervene, but in a, you know, way that is allowed. And Admiral Shanti's like, no, we can't intervene. And Picard says, well, this concerns us all, internal man, you know, the whole thing from last episode. And he says, well, if the, who are those called? The Romulans are involved. This is probably bigger. They think they're supplying them, and they say using their cloaking devices. So we'll do a blockade. Well, how are you going to catch them? It looks like I said tachyon beams, but it's tachyon beams. Again, you got to watch this just for Riker watching Picard. And I mean, that's really hard acting, like just having to be there silent and be in the scene the whole time. I think, I mean, I couldn't do that. I can't act. Tachyon beams, assemble your fleet, she says. Riker says, nicely done, which becomes another, I think this gets used at the tail end of the episode. And then the episode opens. We're like 7 minutes into the show now. Right now we're at 5:08. And I'm at 7:00 something, so that's funny. Then Captain's log, something says, hey, that was relatively painless. I think it's Picard saying, well, we established our getting the permission was painless, but implementing the plan's not going to be easy. Gravitron, Riker, oh no, let's see, Geordi, Data, Riker, and Picard. 20 claps, what does that mean? Oh, 20 ships. They're talking about assembling the ships for the blockade. He says, Geordi, can you do it with 20 ships? He says, more ships, the better. And then Picard's like, okay, get those other three ships. Better Data, find offering. Will and Geordi. Data first officer. But he says, Riker, you'll command that ship. Geordi, you'll be his first officer. And then we get to kind of the BC plot, which is that Data stays behind. And he says, listen, I'm confused, Commander. It looks like the Excalibur is the one that, what better ship for Riker? Why aren't I getting a ship to command? He goes, can I ask you a question? Personal in nature. And Picard goes, well, I need you here. Why? And he goes, well, there's not a lot of senior officers available. I only got 26 years of experience, but if you don't think androids are ready to command, then maybe I should work on my performance. And Picard goes, go get in charge of the USS Donald Sutherland. That's a ship with some gravitas, if I ever heard of one. And he goes, there's nobody better suited than you until they name a ship after me. Then that'll be the most gravitas in a ship. So that's that scene. No one does it better. Something like, but how does that scene end? Somebody says nobody does it better. No better suited, no one better. It just made me think of that James Bond song, Baby, You're the Best or whatever. But he says no one better suited to the task than you. Then we're at the big Klingon party. It's a battle, post-battle party. We get a little Mike Haggerty as Larg, an actor everybody's probably familiar with. We'll talk about that maybe. Kura intros. Oh, what's his brother's name? Not Kura. He intros Worf to Larg. Larg's like, they throw drinks around. And then Worf has to do multiple WTFs in this. He says, dude, what WTF? Shouldn't we be working on stuff? And it's like, Kern, that's his brother's name. He says, does it matter? And he goes, here we're all Klingons. He says, is there nothing in your heart but duty? And I said, hearty, har, har. I didn't even laugh till just now. And Worf goes, he goes, technically there's D-U-T-Y in my heart, but I'm not going to say there's duty in my heart because then Scoots will have a go at it. He goes, responsibility, Worf says, it's not duty. And he goes, what about glory? We can't think about stabilizers because Worf wanted to work on the stabilizers. Son of Moogs, let's live this night like it was our last. And I think Worf tried to join in, but then Lurs and Bator are watching, and they say, Worf's not like his brother. They say, no, he's trying, but he's not, you know, he's unsure of himself. And they say, maybe we could restore his confidence. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Oh, there's also Worf was kind of, the camera had him in like this half light for a little while, which was cool. What does that say? Tomarnin Verde. Oh, tomorrow. Oh, that was I said, that's like that Dave Matthews song. Because that kind of is what they're doing. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, tomorrow we'll big farm it. Another ship we see. Then we see Timothy Carhart, the actor. What is that? His Hobbs something. I forget it. We'll find out his name. Don't worry. So some name. If we trace this back, I wonder if it's like this guy may have been on Facebook before every other dude that knows everything. But Data rolls up. This scene kind of played out a little bit like a play. I've watched this episode quite a few times, and Data comes. He's command of the ship. Hobson, oh, God, that's the dude's name, Hobson. He's Christopher Hobson. I know, like, we'll talk more about him in a bit. But Data says, I take command of this vessel, note the time and the date. Dude says, I'd like to be transferred. Data says, why? He goes, I don't think I'd be a good first officer for you. Data says, you got a great record, adequate record, I mean. And he goes, I mean, for you. And he says, I'm not big on androids being in charge, I'll be honest. And Data, really, I really enjoyed Data's commanding, and how it had imperfections, but I don't know, but he goes, request denied, dude, you get to work. And then if you thought Data had it rough, Picard's got O'Brien as his bridge buddy. I don't know if O'Brien's the first officer, but... Picard said, okay, I mean, O'Brien does fine. I'm just giving him a hard, come on, O'Brien, I'm just giving you a hard time. Everybody was like, O'Brien's on the bridge, you're short staffed. O'Brien Comedy Cast, that's my other podcast. I'm just jealous of you, I'll be honest, O'Brien, so don't worry about it. Yeah, but they're getting underway. Picard says, engage, so that's great. What else? Data goes to work. That was on the last scene. We see the Armada, which is cool. Then there's an ad break. What does that say? The Phasers? The Fainers? The Sisters? Is that what that says? Chasha tries to calm them. So I guess the next scene is like, Bator says, Romulans are late. Where's the supplies? And then Sela, she's Commander Sela. She says, it doesn't matter. We took out Memphis system. We got Gowron. And the convoy will be here in due course. Lurs just says, the Federation fleet left Starbase 234 for Klingon territory. 20 ships. They say, who's in charge? Picard. Sela goes, And Torahala goes, what is going on? And she goes, Sela, much like Picard, doesn't like, she goes, silence the child. And get Romulans ready. Movar is her sidekick. Lorsa goes, well, 20 ships is a bluff. And Sela says, maybe, you know, but trust me, I'm way more hyper-intelligent, I would say, Sela is. At least strategically. What else do I have? Perhaps. I don't know when that happens. They zoom on her when she says perhaps, though. Better leaders. Gowron has some dusty supplies. Better leaders, you failed. Worf, we have to get to work. So then we're at the Klingon meeting hall or whatever. And everybody's upset with Gowron. Worf's trying to be an adult and say, we got to get to work. Work together, get to work. Quit messing around with all this. Because this isn't a locker room. He goes, save the arm wrestling for when we're already a victory. And no one really wants to listen. Worf's breaking up all this thing. Now we can continue. Then we just see a shot of Troy walking on the bridge. And then Picard and O'Brien are talking about subspace anomalies. Yeah, Picard calls Riker. He says, time to spread the net or something. Oh, spread the net. Can't really say that's undoing a net. A data ship, all stop. This dude is so, Hobson, he put the pass, he's so passive aggressive. So let's see, all stop. So let's see, get there. He says, tell him we're ready. Hobson starts giving out orders. Data says, he goes, yeah, we got a leak. Data goes, why isn't the backup ready? He goes, we didn't test the backups. So then he says, Terry, get down to engineering. And Data goes, how come the phasers and everything's offline? He goes, and then Hobson ignores him. He goes, Keith? I want you, and then Data goes, whoa, 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 Hobson, bruh, it's inappropriate for you to determine a course of action without consulting me, a commanding officer. And then Hobson, I mean, really, this is like totally out of chain of command. He speaks back. He says, I'm worried about the people on deck. He goes, everybody belay those orders. What should we do, sir? And Data says, this was one of the highlights of many one. Data says, okay, now that you're going through chain of command, just redo what you did and get back to work, which I loved. He said, oh, go ahead and do this, the stuff you just said. But not in a way like it's just great. Like, he makes me undo it and do it again. I love that he gives out the same orders, end scene. Oh, Data's face, around 1845, he says, oh, I'm in a pickle here. They don't have a flashy bridge like the Enterprise, the Lux Bridge. Picard FaceTimes Geordi and Riker. He says, energize. Then we see the Romulan seal. Commander Tachyon emissions. Something. Oh, coming from the fleet, they're scanning with Tachyon emissions. They'll find us. And Sela goes, figure out a solution. I'll have to convince Picard by other means that he should get out of here. Let's see. Romulan ship. Oh, then they say, hey, Romulan ships, this is O'Brien. Picard, Romulan ship just showed up. It's hailing us. And then there's like a WTF moment. So, hey, Picard goes, put him on screen. And then he sees Tasha, stands up. And then O'Brien looks up and sees her. And then he goes, let me see what he says. He goes, Tasha? And she goes, nope, Commander Sela. I think then every person on the ship turned and looked. She goes, my mother was Tasha Yar. And then there's like major drama music. And she goes, you got 20 hours to hit the road, Jack. Then we have Troy and Picard and Crusher. And they say, "What is this possible? No, unless it's a clone, not possible for her to be Tashiar's daughter. Could be a trick or something, but she's not lying. She thinks she's her daughter." And then they leave. Picard goes, "Thank you." Then he's alone. He pauses and thinks. You get a close up. Then Guinan comes in. And he goes, "Geez." She goes, "Yeah, news travels fast." And Picard goes, "It's just a distraction." And she goes, "You remember the Enterprise C?" And Picard goes, "Narendra 3. And she goes, "Well, what happened to the people left on that ship?" They went to Romulus, Picard says, rumors. And Guinan goes, "Nope, Tasha Yar was one of the people on that ship. And she made it to Romulus." And Picard goes, "That was 23 years ago. She's only like 26, so it's not possible. Or 22, 20, you know, 24, 25, 26. And Guinan goes, "Yeah, I know it's not possible. Or probably, you know, likely. But I do know she was on that ship and she was an adult or, yeah. And I think you sent her there." And Picard goes, "Nah, I don't think." And she goes, "I know that you did. I just know." Picard goes, "You never even met her." And then he says, "Well, if you have a vague intuition." And she goes, No. "You can't dismiss this. If I'm right, you're responsible for the situation in some sense," which I think is a little bit drastic, but maybe she was just trying to empower Picard. So Picard goes, "Time to meet this Commander Sela." Yeah, then, let's see, I lost my pen. Clores. Guinan. Vague intuition. Oh, then we see Worf and Kern for the good of an empire. Something, something, yo. What happened? So Worf and Kern are like, Worf goes, "We got to focus, man. What are you doing with in this nonsense?" And Gowron too. And Kern goes, "You chose Gowron, not me, man. Now you don't like him anymore?" And he goes, no, it's just I want more focus. And Kern goes, "Don't speak about this. Either follow him or don't. He's our leader. The time for debate is over. Maybe it was the wrong choice for you to put on that uniform." Then Worf gets some lackeys take Worf for a visit somewhere. For the good of the Empire. Something, something. Worf no longer, I don't know. The time for debate is over. Worf, okay, so then there's a commercial. Then Sela rolls in to the ready room or the meet, you know, the conference hall on the Enterprise. They're both standing. Kind of a little standoff. Eventually Picard sits. First, Sela's arms are crossed. "A little Klee's gone, only question on my mind." So we'll go through the dialogue in a second. At some point, she sits on the table with her knee up and kind of tells her tale. And she says, "All that's left is Romulan. Doubt I'm full of them. 14 hours. And then Picard's thinking face. So she rolls in. She says, what do we have to discuss? First, they play a little chess game. Kirk goes, "Oh, we're just here doing work, no intention." And she goes, "Oh, humanitarian work?" And Picard goes, "Well, keeping external powers out of Klingon affairs." And she goes, "Well, you wouldn't have to do that anyway, because we could slip by you. You wouldn't even know it, unless you have a way to detect us." And she goes, "But that's not really why we're here, is it? Don't you want to know about Tasha Yar being my mom?" And Picard lays out, "Well, she was it possible she was on the sea as an adult? Because she should have been a child, right?" And she goes, "Yeah, she was 24 years ago, sent there by you from the future." And I've seen this episode. I think we covered it even. Maybe it was yesterday's Enterprise, and I'm not sure. It was one of those time Enterprise ones. And she goes, "Yeah, General Romulan General fell in love with her, made a deal, and then I was born." And Picard goes, can I see your mother? She goes, no. She goes, one night when I was four, she wanted me to leave Romulus. And I said, this is my home. And so I stayed with my father, more or less. And she, that's when she says, all's left Romulan. Never doubt that. Picard goes, doubts, I'm full of that. But he goes, I guess it sounds like it's true, but it's not going to affect my judgment. And she goes, 14 hours, use them wisely. Card thinking face. Then but we see Bator kissing Worf, who wakes up and says, let me give you a kissy poop. What? Then they say, welcome, sigh. You know, he sighs. What do you want? Your family. Oh, they say, well, why don't we work together? Your family does not value honor. We could be friends. Toral need a firm guidance, and he's going to be a leader no matter what. You could make Bator join us, and he goes, yeah, in a world without honor, where honor has no meaning. And then Tasha, Sela calls, and she says, dude, I don't got time for this. She must have been watching on FaceTime on mute. And she goes, I don't got time for this. I need the security protocols. Then we have Picard on the bridge. He says, we must expose them, Gowron. So you got to make a move so that they make a move. And he says, okay, what does he say? Very well. Somebody says that. And he goes, oh, by the way, Worf is with the Duras family now, you know, not by choice. Get another Picard close up. Then Picard and Riker go over the game plan that to fake them out, to fake Sela out. They're going to make a fake gap to trick them. Then we go to Sela's ship. Her ship has some cool neon on it. So if you like neon, join, you know, if you like neon, you like Romulans. Romulans, we like neon too. They say she's with meeting with her advisor, Movar or whatever. So they find out, you know, everybody's making their moves. And she says, do you have an idea of how to deal with this? He goes, yeah, big pulse, and we can disable their network. And then she says, okay. And they say, hey, wait a second. One of the ships ran out of gas, and they got to redeploy. There's an opening in the net. And at first, Sela says, oh, wow, not enough ships. And Movar says, let's move our. And she goes, no. And he goes, it's what we're waiting for. And she goes, yes, yeah, so does Picard. He's giving us what we need. He expects us to take it. And she goes, we'll send an energy burst where the android is in command. So that happens. Do we have a way through? Pulse. Yeah, we want to block off. I don't think so. Oh, it's go time now. 08095. I don't know what any of that is. Oh, that was Sela. She says that that's where they send the tachyon disruptor. Touch. Call the Sutherland. They say, oh, the O'Brien says, yo, there's it's all disrupted. They call Data in the Sutherland. He says, yes, sir. 10 million kilometers of non-detection. And Picard says, oh boy, we better fall back. He goes, they're going to go through. We'll fall back. We'll reestablish a new net, which doesn't seem like the best move, in my opinion. I mean, maybe it's just buying them time to outthink, which happens. And Hobson says, okay, everybody, we're supposed to go to Gamma Edron. And Data says, okay, get the course ready. And then Data stands up. He goes to the computer. Let's see. This is a great, great couple of scenes. Even in my notes, used to strong words to describe this guy. So Data goes to computer. The guy sits at his side looking at what he's doing, like he's in, like, holy mackerel. And he goes, what are you doing? And Data goes, well, he goes, the tachyon, there may be a residual tachyon signature. And he goes, well, we don't have a way of detecting it. And Picard, Data goes, I'll stop. And the guy goes, sir, the fleet's been ordered to Gamma, Edward, whatever. And Data goes, if we don't do this now, it'll be too late. Reconfigure the sensors, ion particles. The guy still has something to say. He goes, sits it aside. I'll stop. He goes, oh, yeah, the area's flooded with tachyon particles. We'll never find it. Data goes, I'm aware of the difficulties. Phaser's on. And the guy goes, what about the three decks? Data goes, we'll take care of that when it's easier. And this guy reminded me a lot of Facebook. I said, was this guy on Facebook before it was invented? Because his next couple of things, I've seen like the splainers. I mean, this guy was like splaining before it was a thing. He says, you know, he's projecting a meaning onto Data that's irrelevant. He says, you don't care about the people on the ship. We're not machines. And potato. I don't know why I said that, but Data goes, Hobson, carry out my orders or I'll relieve you of duty. And he goes, not the duty, you know, not that kind. You know, he goes, the DUTY. And he goes, yes, sir. But he said, it was great. You should definitely rewatch this. Then Captain, O'Brien says, Captain, Picard, Sutherland's not coming. Picard goes, call him. Then Hobson says, Enterprise is calling. And Data goes, sweep maximum range. And he goes, aren't you going to answer the call? And Data just ignores, like, this is how you're supposed to do it, too. He just ignores it. He goes, okay, overlay the display, highlight any signatures, concentrate a sensor sweep. Still, just like commenters, he says, this is pointless. These readings could be anything. No way for us to figure this out. Data goes, okay, reconfigure for level six. The guy goes, level six. And the Data goes, do it, but very strongly, like in a command, as a commander. Then the guy goes, okay, I'm ready. He goes, like, but Picard's calling. And then Picard says, do it, Data. Hey, what's up? And Data goes, stand by and get ready, Hobson. And Hobson goes, don't you hear? Picard's calling. And Data goes, go. And do this brief, Data aces it all. Do it. Something. But then they detect the convoy. Data stands. They say, oh boy. Hobson goes to their head. Oh, Muvar goes, Sela, we're busted. And she goes, let's get out of here. Oh, and that's when Muvar says, they need this convoy. Otherwise, they can't win. And she goes, it's six over. And they go, Muvar says, what should I tell Lursa and Bator? She goes, they're on their own. Then Hobson says, okay, they're headed back. Data goes, make a full report. Take phasers offline, clean things up. And then Hobson's fully been, he goes, yes, sir, Captain. And if I was Data, I'd say, too late, dude. You're going to be cleaning the latrines for the next 6 months. But Data's probably nicer than me. Where are we? Data stands, heading back, make full report. Yes, sir, Captain. Data pauses. He likes it. Toral, he's like, we're in trouble. We're defeated. Where are the Romulans? New Cape, Toral, in Worf's care. Worf takes over Sister's Ditch. Oh, so the Sisters ditch Toral as Worf takes over. Toral goes, how come the Romulans never came? So Worf takes over. Yeah, and that's it. Then, Toral, Worf is in command. Then Kern breaks in. And he says, hello, Toral. Then we have Captain's log, personal log, by the way, 450-25.4. Rickard goes, yep, we got it. Gowron's victory. We're at the Klingon homeworld. Well, I'm going to do a full report. Then Rickard's in his Data says, can't come in. You know, I know I disobeyed an order. even, you know, ends don't justify the means. And Picard goes, no, they don't. But I also can't have people just following orders blindly without knowing the situation. He goes, they noted it in your record. And Data goes to leave. He goes, Mr. Data, nicely done. And Data goes, great, sir. Then, nicely done, smile. Oh, Picard smiles. That was nice. Oh, then we see a Klingon light fixture for a little while. Gowron says, great report, Picard. One last matter to attend to. They bring Worf and Kern come in, then Toral. And they say, Toral, you're busted. And Toros goes, Duras family's rules. Gowron says, not today. He goes, Worf, this is the family that took your honor. I give you Toral. And Worf says, I prefer not to traditionally take Toral to the big farm. And they go, this is our way. Even Kern says, that's the Klingon way. And this is classic, great character. Worf goes, I know, but it is not my way. Great acting. Goes, he hasn't done anything, and I can't make him totally responsible for his family. And then they say, well, Kern's going to have to do it. Gowron reminds me of this SCT. We'll talk about it. The real actor is Robert O'Reilly. But Worf says, no, this is, they say, well, Kern could take Toral. Worf goes, no, he's mine. Just, put him in whatever. He goes, I'm sparing him. And then Gowron goes, as you wish. And then Worf turns to Picard, goes, permission to return to duty, sir. And Picard says, granted. And then they walk off together. So great end of the episode. So really good stuff. Now let's run through some notes here. One thing was Tasha Yar reminding me of this game that I don't think I ever played called Yar's Revenge. And I'll link to it. It was for the Atari 2600 and the Game Boy Advanced and Game Boy Color. And it just always had really cool album art cover. Like, I just always thought it had really cool album cover. So I'll link to it in the show notes. But that's a game, Yar's Revenge. This episode could have been called, I guess it's not Yar's Revenge, but another great comedian that Gowron reminded me of, someone that I grew up kind of watching and really influenced me. I guess I was watching it on repeat, is Joe Flaherty. From SCTV, the Canadian sketch TV show and group. He's also been on a lot of other things. He was also on National Lampoon Radio Hour. And he's been in movies. He was in Back to the Future Part 2, Happy Gilmore. He's played other children, but he's on Freaks and Geeks. But he's just one of my favorite comedians from watching those repeats of SCTV that I'll probably have to repeat again. Then anytime I hear Convoy, I think of the song Convoy being sung by like Homer Simpson, being sung by Homer Simpson. But I said, what is Convoy? It's a 1975 novelty song, according to Wikipedia. So for all, everything's been from Wikipedia. Performed by C.W. McCall and voiced by Bill Freeze and Chip Davis as a character, C.W. McCall. But it hit number one on country and pop charts, and it's considered one of the 100 greatest country songs of all time. It has CB dialogue, CB slang in the chorus, something, something, great big convoy trucking through the night or something like that. And I don't know, when they talk about it, it just reminded me of that. Let's see where else it's been. It's been remade a few times. A lot. Paul Brandt version. There was a Christmas Convoy. I don't see any mention of it in The Simpsons, but I know it was in there. I can hear Homer singing that. I'm almost positive. And then these lyrics came up. Join us. This, my daughter's been big on Pippin. So this is from the musical Pippin. Join us, leave your fields to flower. Join us, leave your cheese to sour. Join us, come and waste an hour or two. Do doodly do. Journey to a spot exciting, mystic, and exotic. A journey through our antidotic review. We've got magic just for you. We've got miracle plays to play. We've got parts to perform and hearts to warm. Kings and things to take you by storm as we go along our way. And that's from musical Pippin. If you're big into 70s style musicals like Hair, I think you should definitely check out Pippin. I haven't seen it. I've listened to the cast album, but I have not seen the musical. But my daughter has seen it twice, and she loved it. A local small version of it. Yeah, but we all know there's no small performers. What about, I went over to memoryalpha.fandom.com, you know, the Memory Alpha Wiki, to find out about the rules around cloning and stuff in Star Trek. You know what clone means. But then I said, what is illegal? There was the Dominion. They did it a lot. This must have been an episode I haven't seen. William Riker claimed that 100 or 100,000 Rikers, if he was cloned, would diminish his status. Yeah, that's from the episode Up the Long Ladder. Then the Romulans did make a Jean-Luc Picard version. I haven't seen this episode either. Wait, is that in... As the Romulans? Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, though. You'd think there would... I thought it'd be more clear on the law that it was outlawed or something. A couple other performers in this episode that you'd probably recognize. One was Timothy Carhart. He played the Splainer. He's been on, like, a lot of CBS dramas, but I don't know where I recognize him from. Maybe Thelma and Louise or Beverly Hills Cop 3? Or maybe I've just seen this episode so many times. But he really does a great job of being someone you do not root for. He's done a lot of guest starring, though. Quantum Leap, X-Files, Midnight Caller, Empty Nest, Roseanne, Law & Order, L.A. Law, TV movies, CSI, 24... yeah, lots of stuff. So Judging Amy, Frasier. So, he's in the Ghostbusters. So he's been in a lot of things. Oh yeah. He's been in a lot of movies. So he's somebody you recognize. So Working Girl, Pink Cadillac, Hunt for Red October, Air Force One. So it's just someone I had to look up. And then Mike Haggerty. Now this is someone, holy, you recognize him. He played, I forgot who he played, somebody that was working with the Duras family, like the head of one of the Duras groups. But he's an American actor. He was on Friends. He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm, Martin, Cheers, Wayne's Brothers, Wonder Years, Seinfeld, Carlin Show. He started in the Second City. He's known for his Chicago accent and his thick mustache. More recently, he's been on the Goldbergs, Back in the Day, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Entourage, Desperate Housewives, Deadwood, ER. He's been in movies. You definitely recognize him. He's got that very thick. He has creaky dulcet tones, no doubt about it. So just another person I want to point out. I think that's it. You want to know more about the musical Pippin? Yeah, let me look that up for you. Sorry about that. Okay, just shot over to Wikipedia again. Pippin is a 1972 musical. Stephen Schwartz and Roger O. Herson, Bob Fosse directed the original Broadway production and helped on the book. Uses the premise of a mysterious performance troupe to tell the story of Pippin, a young prince searching for meaning and significance. That happens during Charlemagne, Because I thought, when you hear the music, you say, okay, when does this take place? It takes place in the Middle Ages. Show is financed by Motown Records. It's the 36th longest running Broadway show. Oh, Ben Vereen was in it, and Bettina Miller. There was a 2013 revival. It was conceived as a student musical titled Pippin, and it's performed by Carnegie Mellon's Scotch and Soda Theater Troupe. And the Wikipedia article breaks out the plot, which I said I don't want to infringe on. It does, the newer productions might have an extended ending. Though Pippin was written to be performed in one act, and its single-act structure does not accommodate easily an intermission. Many times, of course, it is broken into two acts. And there's currently a two-act version out there licensed by Music Theater International. And the intermission comes after Morning Glow, as an Act 1 finale. And the 2013 Broadway revival is performed with an intermission. So there you go, a little bit about Redemption 2 and ending with Pippin. Good night. I want to thank everybody who recently reviewed the podcast. Valentine395 from Australia says, never stay up stressing again. Perfect for your studying or you find it hard to sleep due to stress or anxiety. It gives you a small thing in the background to focus on instead of the fact you can't sleep. Definitely recommend. Says rubbish makes no sense. LOL, they're from Australia. That's a 1-star. It could be a 5-star review, depending on their perspective. Feeder says actually a lifesaver, bad anxiety and other stuff. Fall asleep's tough, and I always felt tired during the day. This podcast helped me so much. It takes my mind off of my worries. It centers me so calm. My mom's calm, and it really helps me sleep. I don't go a night without listening. ES says, perfect way to distract my mind. Thanks, Scooter. Mind's constantly racing, hard to fall asleep. I put the podcast on, and I'm finally able to focus on that and relax to drift off. Thank you. Cook 1978 says, love the show. Helps on those nights when my mind doesn't want to shut down. Turn it on with a few minutes of sleep. It works. Chris 105460 says, can't thank you enough. A magic spell for overcoming insomnia. Grateful for it. New Runner says, so glad this exists. Don't go through a tough time, real tough time. And this leads to tough thoughts, twisty thoughts. I'm trying to fall asleep, which has caused me not look forward to going to bed. I guess lets me relax and keeps my dark thoughts out so I can fall asleep. So grateful. Sage and Thyme. Those are my favorite pets that time travel. Sage and Thyme. Great background noise. I don't use this to fall asleep, but I have listened to a few episodes when getting ready for bed. I get jumpy or lonely at night, so this is perfect to have some company. Liza says, I don't know what this, I would tell you this podcast is awesome, but I wouldn't know. I have chronic insomnia. I can't fall asleep. I can't stay asleep. This podcast with a little CBD helps put me to sleep within the first half hour. Keeps me asleep all night. Better than white noise machines, classical music, or any sleep aid I've encountered. And queer and full of existential FE to the A to the R gives 5 stars and 3 snoozies. Thanks, Scooch, you're my boar, bro. So many issues with insomnia in the past. Helps me fall asleep. MVP, my guy. So thank you for that. Thank you, everybody who reviewed the show. Thank you, everybody who shares information about the podcast. What else? This podcast exists for a free podcast. Get people to support the sponsors and support the show directly. So I really appreciate that. And here's a little bit more about how we bring the show to you. And thanks for listening. All right, everybody. It is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach, I sleep on my side, I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.